I'm here with John Stickley of the John Stickley Trio, who will be performing at the Lowertown Arts and Music Festival coming up on May 19th. So, John, you're an incredible musician. The trio is doing really, really amazing things. You have a new album coming out. Actually, it'll be out before the festival, maybe Believe. Can you talk a little bit about the new project?
Yeah, it's definitely a new step for us. It's the coolest thing we've done yet. It's the second album that we've done with producer Dave King, the drummer of The Bad Plus. And this time, you know, we did our last album with him, and getting in the studio with him again this time was a real, you know, last time was getting to know you experience, and then this time was a real, you know, like working with a close friend, someone we were really comfortable with. Not to mention that the band has gone so many thousands of miles, and we've really grown into something really unique and special that like really highlights all of the band members, you know, personalities.
Yeah, and you talked about your previous release, which was from 2016. That was Triangular, correct?
Right.
Yeah. You know, I want to take a quick minute to mention Lindsay and Patrick. Lindsay Pruitt plays violin, and Patrick Armitage rounds out the trio on drums. You know, you talk about the studio work. You are a very improvisational band. Is that hard to translate in the studio sometimes?
You know, it is, and we really try to approach an album as something that is going to be, you know, something that is not as maybe as improvisational as our live show is. So we take it pretty seriously to make sure that the improvisation that we do on the album is maybe a little more controlled and a little more, you know, planned out than say something that's a total free for all. Like we have sections of tunes within an arrangement on the album that is completely improvisational, but we don't want to let it just go, you know, off into nothing, you know.
Sure.
Where we've got a lot more freedom live to do kind of whatever we want.
I was going to say, I've seen you several times, and the live show is absolutely amazing for that very reason of the improvisation. You know, we sometimes describe it as melting faces, just the amount of energy that you guys have. Specifically, I caught you at the late night set at Romp last year that was just absolutely amazing. You brought up a word, you said arrangement. And, you know, one of my questions, do you consider yourself a composer or a songwriter?
That's a really good question. Maybe a little bit of both. I really work only with instrumental music. Don't really write like lyrics or anything, but try to you know, keep a real melodic, maybe lyrical quality to the instrumental music that we do. And one of the ways that I write songs is just start with something very simple, you know, a chord progression, a simple melody, present that to the band, and then we kind of let it grow from there. I usually come up with the basic idea and then just present that to them and see what it grows into, and usually it grows into something. Maybe it could be completely different from the original idea.
Sure. Well, that brings me to a point. It's kind of the standard question, but with you, I think it's going to be amazing to hear. But your influences, because you do, you'll cover Jerusalem Ridge, which is a traditional tune. You also do some contemporary, what I would consider compositions, like Slopes, that was written by Mark O'Connor and Bela Fleck. Then you got Manzanita by Tony Rice. What are your influences? They have to be just vast.
Yeah. they are really vast. And one of the things that we don't like to do is like pigeonhole ourselves into a certain genre or a certain style. I would say that, you know, the bluegrass picking tradition of jamming and hanging out with friends and playing standard bluegrass tunes, that's kind of what got me into professional music. You know, I started doing gigs with bluegrass bands in college, and then, you know, you do so many all-night jams at festivals, and you start having new ideas, and you get really into that whole thing. And then once we started the trio, we needed music. So I started thinking a lot more seriously about, you know, writing songs and composing. And that's when I started looking at other musical influences in my life, you know, throughout my life. Like, the first thing I really loved growing up was grunge. You know, I was a huge Nirvana fan, and then it just kind of went from there. So I started looking back at some of that stuff and being like, okay, how can we incorporate some of this, you know, energy into the trio's music and still stick with the, I guess, the technical, the parts of bluegrass that I like so much, the precision, the timing, you know, the real attention to detail, and also the kind of rootsiness of it, and organic jamming with each other kind of vibe, if that makes any sense.
No, it actually does. It's interesting because, you know, I hear jazz and reggae and some world music in your compositions.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
It's amazing, but that you bring that, and it is kind of finds its foundation in that bluegrass sort of flat picking, but a little broader than that. But then with the trio, Lindsay's violin is absolutely amazing, and you know, I use this descriptor a lot, but Patrick is in the pocket on the drums. It's absolutely amazing. That's incredible. So you did talk about collaborations. I know, going back when I first heard the name John Stickley, it was from Broke Mountain Bluegrass way back in 2008, I believe. And for for folks that aren't familiar with that band, it was almost a super group before everybody was super. but Tavis Book of the infamous String Dusters, Anders Beck with Green Sky Bluegrass, Robin Davis, who I believe plays solo now. He was also on The Voice, I believe, if that's the right one. I'm not very TV literate. And then Andy Thorne, who played with the Larry Kill Experience. So that was an absolutely amazing, more traditional bluegrass band. Was where I was introduced to your music.
Okay, yeah, cool. When we went out, Andy and myself rode out to Colorado to join Broke Mountain, the three Colorado guys, Anders, Travis, and Robin. I was basically obsessed with Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver. I thought Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver was the best band in the world. And on our way out to Colorado, we just sang along with the first two Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver albums almost the whole way out there. And so that was kind of where that band was at. You know, we were playing, you know, contemporary traditional bluegrass with the occasional, you know, Tim O'Brien, Hot Rise kind of Colorado influence there too. But we were talking about like hard driving, picking and singing.
Yeah, and a lot of Andy Thorne, for those folks that are familiar, is a hard-driving banjo player, just amazing as well. So you still run in those circles. I know you do some sit-ins. I actually saw you do a workshop with Tavis Travis at the Romp Festival last year. Do you still enjoy getting to join them and kind of bring your new take on that music to some of their shows, and they've also taken it in crazy, wonderful, different directions?
Yeah, it's been a really just amazing experience to watch everyone kind of grow in their own direction. And, you know, everyone that was in Broke Mountain has said at one point, man, what would it have been like if we had kept that going? I think it would have been great, but to have watched everyone disperse, do their own things, develop their own personalities, you know, I think that was kind of now when we come back together, it's even more powerful than it was at the time. So we've talked about doing as much as one reunion show or maybe a new album and a tour. You know, there's definitely a future for Broke Mountain. As well as lots of collaboration between all of our projects. And me personally, you know, the trio's music has gone a direction where we just really focused on what was unique and original that we were doing. And so it's gone in that direction of original, composed, weird, instrumental hip-hop jazz grass. But to get back to those bluegrass settings and sing three-part harmony and, you know, play G-runs is extremely fun for me. So that will never go away if I have anything to say about that.
I know you're a very busy man. What can folks look forward to at the Lower Town Arts and Music Fest in Paducah on the 19th?
Oh, man, we are going to be coming in hot. We've been so busy. The band's super tight. And it's just a high-energy, very present, experimental, improvisational experience. So we're going to leave it all on the stage.